Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
The Stanley Cup resides in Colorado once again as the Colorado Avalanche. Well, they had to wait 21 years, but now it is back where it belongs. And Colorado pulled off the rare hockey double with DU winning the national championship and the Colorado Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup final last night, locking it up with a 2-1 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Joining us now up on the hotline, it is Chris Vanderveen, Director of Special Projects for 9 News. Chris, that was something special to watch last night.
It sure was, and I can proudly say Colorado native Chris Vanderveen, who's now watched the Stanley Cup champion. Although when you play that song from Queen, I have to admit, it gives me weird flashbacks when the Raiders won. This is a long, long time ago. Long time ago, obviously, when the Raiders won the Super Bowl, and my dad played that. My dad was a huge Raiders fan, and his son was a Broncos fan. And my dad played that song very loudly in the house as sort of a, we just won, you guys didn't song. So it gives me weird flashbacks. But other than that, I am celebrating today.
Do you have any recommendations of the songs that we can get for you, Chris? So that
what
you
else are you going to do? That sort of like sums it all up. So I don't have a plan B for you.
The plan B would be all the small things.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be plan B. Do you realize that if you would have had a baby the night that the Avalanche last won the Stanley Cup, that baby could have legally had a beer to celebrate the new Stanley Cup?
I know, and that's something.
It's
been way too long. It's been way too long.
Well, and I just love this, and this is why I love sports so much, Chris, is because there's a lot of stuff in the world, a lot of division, this and that, but it doesn't matter your political affiliation, it doesn't matter what you believe in right now. Everybody is just joyful to see the Colorado Avalanche go get this done.
Well, it's nice to see it, and it brings back, I'm old enough to remember the other two Stanley Cup championships very, very well. I was in Colorado, and it was just sort of a really wonderful time. And we got spoiled back then because, we inherited a certain team from Quebec, and they were really good when we got them. And so we were very competitive for a number of years, and the Avalanche had sort of lost that competitiveness, and now it's back with a vengeance. And, this is one of those times where – really the best team in hockey during the regular season came out and won the Stanley Cup, which, as you know, doesn't happen all the time.
No, it doesn't, and I'm just wondering, does this feed the energy of our other franchise? You know, when one of the teams wins a championship, do you think the other major sports start feeling, wow, it can happen, we should do this?
Certainly you're speaking of the Colorado Rockies and the inevitable jolt that this is going to give them through the rest of the regular season.
Oh, yeah, I can feel it's about to happen. This is going to lift them. I'm thinking maybe for future reference, this year is already down the drain.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. We have a very competitive NBA team with an MVP on it. We just got Russell Wilson. I mean, these are good signs for Colorado sports teams. And, I think all you can really ask for is just be competitive, be in the discussion, and three out of our four major sports teams are really in that discussion, which is really great because, as you know, that doesn't happen all the time either.
No, it doesn't, and you're looking at the Broncos and what they can do, and who do you think's next, Chris? That's our poll question today. Who's going to be the next franchise to win a title? Is it the Broncos, the Nuggets, or do you think the Avalanche repeat next year?
I honestly, probably where we're at right now, the best of the bunch is still the Avalanche, and they're the most, like, if you're putting money on it, I'd say the Avalanche. But it's not, there's a lot of questions with the Broncos and just this idea that Russell Wilson's going to be the catalyst to bring out something different. I mean, we all went through Peyton Manning, so I think there's high expectations, but at the same time, it's unfair to sort of, like, put all of that on one player like Russell Wilson, even though he's fantastic. They're close. I mean, I certainly think they're close. And the Nuggets are close, too, but you have to look at the level of competition throughout the NBA. And Golden State is this juggernaut for years to come, and that's going to be tough as well.
Yeah, it is. Chris Vanderveen, Director of Special Projects for 9 News. Chris, all right, let's get back to reality for a second here. We saw Friday the Supreme Court releasing the official draft of repealing Roe v. Wade. First and foremost, I want to talk about the timing of this. What is it with all of these powerful positions releasing information on Fridays, right before a weekend?
Well, you look at their release. I mean, they still have another week of releases to go. We're going to get some more big cases this week from the U.S. Supreme Court. It is interesting on a Friday, and it's probably not coincidental that, one, they chose a Friday, and, two, it was released before the last week of decisions. Because the Supreme Court, it wants to be sort of like above the fray, but at the same time, we've seen like that release of that rough draft opinion really changed the game in terms of how the Supreme Court is looked at from the outside. And because of that, I mean, Supreme Court justices are human too. And you could probably write a whole book about what's been taking place behind. You could write a whole book about what's been taking place behind the scenes with the Supreme Court over the last few months since the release of that. But yeah, it's a Friday release.
No, it's frustrating to see that, and then everybody, you know, takes a weekend, and we saw protests all around the United States over the weekend as well. But my question is more towards the Supreme Court side of things. You know, this was something that a lot of Democrats were talking about. Okay, they got to codify this into law and this and that. Didn't get anything done before this was this decision was announced, and now it seems like the Democrats are using this as a campaign measure as well about, hey, donate here, donate this. It's just interesting how political all of a sudden that the Supreme Court has got. And maybe not all of a sudden, but it just felt like it was the last pillar to not succumb to the dirty politics. And it feels like it has now.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. And you talk about fundraising. Yeah, I mean, everything is going to be used for fundraising purposes right now. You can sense that there is a lot of anger within the Democratic Party about how this happened. But I think if you look at it from a long game perspective, the Republicans, and particularly the pro-life aspect of the Republican Party, has been playing a long game for decades on this decision. And the question is, from a Democratic standpoint, were the Democrats ready for that long game? And then to have a president like President Trump in there, such a consequential president when it comes to picking U.S. Supreme Court justices, and picking three justices that now were on that sort of majority side. I mean, these are big, heavy decisions. And, you know, I think there's a certain amount, you guys may have noticed it, but there's a certain amount of cynicism that's sort of come over the population right now. And this idea that we're just going to fundraise is becoming very tiresome for some people as well.
I know that a lot of people, the argument is going to be brought up, and this could go on forever and ever and ever, is this starts to get, for a lot of people, they're feeling this gets into that separation of church and state type of thing. Because for many, this is a very religious-based feeling, or they base their which side they're on this, on religious beliefs, which can definitely come into play of where's the separation. And I'm sure that's one of the main arguments that we're hearing.
Yeah, it is, and it also is one of those, I mean, it very much is a what are states able to do under the framework of the Constitution, particularly when some sort of issue is not sort of specifically drawn out in the U.S. Constitution. And I think what this court has very clearly said is, at least in the case of abortion, and perhaps in many, many other cases, is that the states in this country do have the right to make those decisions for themselves. I mean, the issue is what's going to happen inevitably is that there's going to be a patchwork of restrictions and non-restrictions around this country, and it's going to lead to even further polarization because there's going to be lots of states with very different laws. And we're sort of in like the preface of a very long book right now. And where does this go? I don't know. But I think there's a lot of consequences to what happened on Friday. I think economic, I think social, I think all of these things that are going to happen inevitably But this is will this help the polarization that exists in this country? I doubt it. It probably, if not already has, will make it worse.
No, I completely agree. We were talking off air earlier. It's turning more and more to a red versus blue type of situation, and not just on certain issues, but states now. I mean, you're seeing, you know, the talk, at least, of secession from Texas and stuff like that. It's just insane to me. And again, it's difficult to fathom that we're at this point. But Chris, first question for you: does this lead you to believe now that court packing is more of a viable option for the Democrats and moving the number of justices up?
That's a good question. I think the challenge is that every power you give to yourself, you give to the opposite party as well. And so you can add more justices to the court, and then what's to stop? Because it's not like you're always in power. It's not like every decision, every power that you give to yourself just stays with you. You're giving it to your opponent, and sometimes you're giving it to an opponent that you detest. And because of that, you have to be super cautious. And I think the president has been asked about that over the last few days, and there really is a pushback from that, because I think there's an idea that that's not a great thing either. But clearly there is an appetite within the Democratic Party to try to do anything they can to change this. I think the problem is that it's there, and that they, talk about elections have consequences. There's been this talk. I think we've sort of lived in a world where we sort of have this sort of up there idea that maybe Roe versus Wade would go away, and it always sort of existed in the ether. It never was sort of real. And last Friday, it became very real, but this wasn't sort of a split-second, hastily drawn-up conclusion decision. This was a decision that was the consequence of decades of work, of polarization, of all sorts of things. And to try to change that overnight is going to be next to impossible.
Yeah, it's going to be another long game. Okay, Chris, Colorado primaries coming up this week. What are you expecting to see unfold here in the state?
I mean, the biggest question is, what's the direction of the Republican Party, and where is the primary going to? Because the Democrats have mostly yawner races, and so the question is going to be, what's going to happen in the Republican Party? And I will tell you this right now, and this is not in your area, but it's something for your listeners to watch. Watch the, of all races, watch the coroner's race in El Paso County. And it sounds crazy, but the coroner's race in El Paso County, I think, has massive consequences for this state. You have a Republican in the primary who is the current coroner of El Paso County down in Colorado Springs. And then you have another person who is talking about the election was stolen and COVID isn't real and we've overcounted COVID. Watch that race, because it's going to tell you a bit. It's going to have a lot to say about, in some parts of the state, where the Republican Party is going.
All right. Chris Vandervee, Director of Special Projects for 9 News. Chris, appreciate your time. As always, we'll catch up with you next week. That's Chris Vandervee with 9 News. All right, 7:54. Let's go ahead and get to Kim Komando.